is the Under Center Podcast.
Hello, you are very welcome to this latest edition of the Under Center Podcast. Dara here with you, joined as always by Reen and Alex. Boys, how are we doing?
All good.
Good, yeah. Not joined by Fionn today, obviously, because he died during his first game in the Premier Division of AFI.
He had to do something to die in that game.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
He was the cleanest man coming off that field.
I think There weren't many clean men.
But now, congratulations to Fionn and the Panthers male kid team for winning their opening game of the 2024 AFI season, beating the Minotaurs 33-6, which is a game we will definitely be speaking about in greater detail in the next few minutes. I actually just realized why he's not here today. He actually is probably still celebrating because it's his first win in four years. 4 years now at this stage. Oh, that's a tough one. I can't say much because I'm in the same boat. I still have to wait for mine.
Well, it could be worse. It could be me. I need to wait another year because my team no longer exists. So, yeah, that's not great.
Yeah, well, look, listen, you chose not to get your ankle sorted in time so you couldn't play. That's so true. That's true. You're going to have to take the L on that one. But look, we have a packed show for you this evening. We are going to be starting off by talking about the We Rule the World tournament, the flag tournament that was on in the sports campus in Blanchestown over the weekend. We're delighted to be joined by Panthers and Irish Wolfhounds player Jenny Kavanagh. Jenny, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent stuff. We are delighted to have you on. I know we were meant to sort of organize something for the summer, which didn't happen, but what a time here with the success, especially of the tournament there just last Sunday.
Yeah, it's a serious change in the tide for like women in football, I think, in general in Ireland, and it's so exciting. I keep getting emotional about it, to be honest.
That's absolutely fine. And look, listen, the day itself, you know, there was a lot of planning going into this. Was the first obviously iteration of this tournament in Ireland, and I think actually in Europe. It's mostly over in the States, and you know, props to, you know, American Football Ireland and Kelly Dwyer for putting everything together. But, you know, tell us about, you know, the day in general. How was the day in general, and how did things run?
Yeah, so it was, I mean, overall, it was just a brilliant day. Couldn't get over, not that I've no doubt in Kelly's organizational skills, but just as these days tend to go when things are starting to schedule, they tend to be delayed, and nothing was. Like, it just went absolutely perfectly. Everyone was so excited, and the culture and the energy was just real positive. I believe I only found this out after, but it makes a lot of sense now, that the refs had a meeting before and were briefed on, like, you know, obviously safety first, but then it really is enjoyment and make sure that that's the key of the day. And it was really clear. I just thought that kind of happened naturally. It makes more sense now that conversation happened, because that's exactly what the day was. Like, it was really competitive. But then at the same time, like, the minute a play was over, people were picking each other up, high-fiving, because, you know, you were also teammates on Wolfhounds, a lot of us. So you'd be like, oh, that was a really good play, like, while they're going by after, you know, tackling you down. So, no, the whole day was amazing. It was just really well run. I mean, the sports campus is such a good venue. Besides the freezingness of the dome, like, you're roasting, and then all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, couldn't be colder. I don't know how the coaches and, like, you know, Therese and all, Owen and the video guys did it, but yeah, such a good venue.
I was going to say, like, I think all of us know from first-hand experience playing in that dome, it is freezing if you're constantly moving the whole time. Like that, so many teams, not just obviously from Ireland, but also from the UK and abroad too. But the fact as well that we had three representing teams, with the Rebels, yourselves, the Panthers, and the Trojans. And I guess if you want to count the Quetzals, because they're based in Ireland, but I think they still go as a Mexican team. But the fact that we have that now, from where we have gone in the last year as well, from like you and the girls taking part in the European Championships to having, you know, mixed teams in the flag league, to now having predominantly women-only teams. We have more now coming along the way, especially in Cork down there with the Tabbies, I believe that's they're called. Yeah. It's just the growth in the last year has just been extraordinary.
Yeah, phenomenal. I mean, I don't think anyone expected it to grow this quickly. We all planned for it in the sense of, like, you know, coming just out of ECs, there was conversations had in Panthers anyway about, like, let's just try women's team. Our plan was, if we can get it together, then maybe we'll enter as a full women's team, but in the D1 league for next year. No, like, at that point being like, there's no other teams. So that's all we're going to have to do. And then to all of a sudden be that there's enough teams now that the genuine question is, could there be a women's league? Like, that's amazing. I can't believe that's the case. We're the longest training. I think the most, the rest of them are only about a month or two, but it looks strong. Like, they have a lot of veterans, I guess, than a lot of the other teams. So they can come in and start, I suppose, a little bit at a higher level. But I actually can't get over it. This time last year, we had a training session that I think there was 12 of us. And that was a mix of, you didn't have to be Irish to be there. They were just trying to get people down so that we were getting reps against women. But that was, like, pretty much everyone who was playing in the country. And for the three, five fully people of teams, I'm counting the festivals. I know they consider themselves Mexican, they're Irish. It's absolutely phenomenal. And it's a real testament, he said, to AFI, but to the coaches and the players as well. Like, the coaches are the ones who have to put together each of the clubs, you know? It's amazing.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention the Phoenix team that represented. I had a few other teams that were there on Sunday too. I left them out by mistake, so my apologies on that one. But we kind of opened it up to the listeners and followers on social media, and we asked if they wanted to ask you any questions. And one of them we got in was actually from Joe Buchanan, and he wants to know what the next step is going to be for women's flag domestically, in your view.
I think it has to be a women's league. I actually love playing in the mixed league. I think it makes me a better player, but it's so different playing against women. And we found that in particular going to ECs, like, it's a different game. You think differently defensively, even offensively. It just is a different vibe. You're also playing a different size ball to begin with, so even getting used to that. Women's league has to be the way forward, especially for, you know, we had a lot of women who joined the women's team who said they were watching the mixed team, wanted to come down and play, were just nervous about playing on a mixed team. So it just opens up avenues for far more players to come in and play who would just be too nervous playing in a mixed league, you know. So I think that has to be the next step. I think it naturally will go there, you know.
Yeah. And just going back to Sunday, because we got some of the stats, and, you know, for yourself personally, it was quite a day with six touchdowns, including a game winning pick six, and the only scores in the semis and final. And from speaking to whoever looks after the Panthers social media, I believe a certain Phoebe Schechter now fears Jenny Kavanagh.
don't know about that, but but yeah, we do you know what? That final was unbelievable. That was the only loss we had all day out of the six games, and it was probably my favorite game just because it was actually so competitive. And I've been watching Saxon the City tape for about a year now. Like, we were watching them preparing for ECs just because of how good they are. And also, they've got a mix of international athletes across different countries, so they're just good to watch in terms of trends and things. And I can't believe that we put up a competitive game against them. I suppose maybe it came was to my benefit that I've watched them before. I kind of know a little bit of what Phoebe wants to do. I'm a big fan of hers. So maybe that helped me a little bit. But I was delighted with the day overall. It was a really good day.
Excellent. Should ask just on a side note, because myself and Rain are obviously friends of current and former teammates of a certain Lisa Brown, who plays now with the Panthers flag team too. How is she getting on?
She's getting on so well. I didn't realize, I guess when I think about it now, I think I just hadn't consciously thought of it, but after the first game, she was like, "We won a game." I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "I don't win games."
Like, oh, Lisa. I'm going to have to have words with Lisa. That is doing us dirty.
She's doing so well. And you know what, Lisa, the big thing about Lisa for me is that she's just really good energy. Like, she'll be consistently there kind of hyping up everyone else, whether she's on the pitch or not. She's also, just because her IQ is a little probably high, just from knowing the sport. Like, you know, there is obviously a lot of transfer across from kitted to flag. So no, she's a good asset to have on the team. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And I ask because, you know, Lisa, I don't know if people aren't aware with Lisa, she actually had a career in boxing before coming to American football. And she was, I remember she told me she was quite close to making it to the Olympics. And now with the Olympics on the horizon and the fact that flag football is going to be in the Olympics, what happens now next when it comes to the Wolfhound side of things? Is there any information given yet about qualifying for the Olympics or when qualification is going to begin?
I don't know exactly when it was announced. There was a lot of talk of the next Europeans being the qualifications of it, but Worlds, I'd imagine, will seed people. So I don't know exactly how they're going to look at qualifications. I would imagine it'll either come down to a seeding of sorts, or the Euros is right before it though, so that's my only concern, that they probably wouldn't leave it too late. So I don't know whether there'll be like a first round that get in, and then there's like, you know, a backdoor channel through maybe the competitions the year before. Worlds is this August. So I would think they'll seed everyone off of that and then go from there. But I haven't actually heard how they're going to do it. I don't even know if they've confirmed the number of teams. It was mentioned when it was released, but I don't know if anything has been fully confirmed yet. But yeah, I hope we're with the Wolfhounds, like we're training now, obviously, as if we're going to Worlds, but with the long term goal of Olympics. But I just hope we're not a bit too late for it. That's my only kind of concern for it. But I think all we can do is continue to train for it and be ready. If the day comes, you know, it would be an absolute dream come true, obviously.
Yeah. And then, of course, Flagapalooza is on the horizon as well for the Panthers. They're going to be heading over. Is there a full squad going over for that one as well?
Not yet. I think we've got 10 of our athletes confirmed, which is, I mean, enough to obviously play. I'm hoping that Sunday gone will actually entice more to finally confirm. I think there probably was like that, you know, the Sunday gone was the first competitive reps for the team, and for majority of our team are rookies, so for them as well. So I'm hoping that kind of eases all their nerves. And the reason Flagapalooza is just such a good tournament to I nearly called it a festival, because it is a festival tournament to go to, is that I think there's the element of fun with it naturally. Not that I think that'll come anyway no matter what the festival, but just to ease people into it, I guess, because international tournaments are no joke. Like they're quite, you know, they can be quite serious and you play a lot of games in one day. But I mean, to me, every single one of the players has just proved they can do it to everyone. So I think Flagapalooza is going to be good. And the Trojans are going too. So that's going to be good. Like, we got the two teams together. And I'd say we'll stick together and, you know, try. If we're all camping, we'll camp together and that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. And look, like I said, Sunday was a fantastic day overall, not just, of course, for the Panthers, just for flag football in Ireland to have that many teams represent Ireland, that many teams to come over as well, and for it to now, hopefully, with the flag season, I'm totally out of the loop now with the flag season. When does the flag season start?
It's now going to start in September, I believe. It used to be July, but they're moving it again.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So okay. We got a while to go yet for that. Yeah.
So absolutely no chance of getting any good weather at all for any of the flag games.
No. I think as a club, and probably other clubs are going to have to look into pitches, I reckon, because coming up to, like, you know, playoffs and that last year, we had so many sessions cancelled due to unplayable pitches, but also our like midweek sessions, we've no floodlights. So it'll be, you know, getting pretty dangerous by the time you're finishing your session. So yeah. I reckon we're going to have to look into figuring that one out. But I think, you know, most teams, I think, are getting on the bandwagon a bit of the broad tournaments. So I reckon, like, we're going to go back training from the mix. The women's team aren't stopping, but the mixed team point of view will go back training as well pretty quickly in preparation for those first and then onto the league. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. And for anyone who's listening or watching that is interested in getting involved in the flag side of things, whether they be male or female, and they want to maybe head down to the Panthers, what's the best way of contacting them?
The Instagram page is the best way, I would say, because everyone's just so active on that all the time. But also to any of the athletes, like if they have anyone already on Instagram or any of their numbers or anything, just to message. People will chop people's hands off to get them to come down. Just because we have a full squad, we don't even need more players, but just everyone's so hyped about more women playing the sport. So they'll definitely get met with an enthusiastic message. And like, you know, any level, even if you're coming from not playing a sport since you were 12, will be welcomed. You know, we always go over fundamentals and have that a big part of training. So no one will be too late to join.
Yeah. Now, yeah, so does it feel a little strange to be seen as, you know, one of the faces or the pioneers of, you know, women's flag in the country? Not even weird, but like it's sort of like a badge of honor now that you have, that you get to represent sort of Irish flag football, and now that you're one of the what's the word that I'm looking for?
Trailblazers, I think is the word.
Trailblazers, that's the word. Thank you. You know, because you're here now at the start of this movement before it, as it's really starting to explode.
I don't know if I would say it feels weird. Well, I suppose what the strange thing about it is that I just really thought that, you know, me ever trying to make as an elite athlete was well gone from about the age of 16. So it's mad to be, I mean, considered old in terms of sports wise, right? Like it's mad to be in your 30s and be kind of then not even reaching your peak yet. Like, I don't believe I'm anywhere close to peak that I can be at. So to be kind of considered to be, you know, one of the best of the sport right now, and you know, leading this Irish team, leading my club's team and all that, like it's a real honor. I can't believe that I've been given the opportunity. But it's, to be honest, it's more just motivating that people are kind of using the face or using the name, because I'm going like, no one better catch me. You know, I'm just trying to get so much better, because I'm like, these young ones are coming, they're going to be so much better so quick, and my body's only deteriorating, you know. So I'm just trying to train hard, get to the gym, just to keep it up and try kind of, I suppose, be the, what you would call it, the role model for the younger players. Like, that's a big thing. Whatever about the players who are in the sport now, like, I just look at younger girls, and I want them to see that it's possible at any time. Because when I was 16 and didn't make it in, I played a load of sports then, like, didn't, you know, go too far in any of them, I figured at the time that was it, right? Like, you didn't have much other chances. And so to have gotten a chance at this point just kind of proves that you can do it if you want, you know, just put your, I didn't even know, it wasn't even a plan at the start. It was just for fun. But then once you see the option, I guess, just take it with both hands, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that is the word actually I was looking for. Reen, you were wrong. It's actually role model, not trailblazer. That was the word.
Trailblazer.
You tried. Look, listen, A for effort. A for effort on that one. Alex is very quiet over there. No help at all.
Well, look, yeah.
Listen, Jenny, it's been fantastic to speak to you about the game. We hopefully will have you on closer to the flag season for sure. Like I said, if you are interested in playing flag and you're around the Panthers area, get in touch with their social media pages. Congratulations on the last year from Ireland to the Panthers. Can't wait to see what comes next for women's flag.
Yeah, great. Thanks so much, guys. Really appreciate it.
No problem at all. No problem at all. And thank you so much to Jenny for hopping on there. We're going to move on now to the kitted action, sorry, from the weekend. And joining us, we're delighted to welcome on head coach of the Donegal Derry Vipers, who's been very patient waiting for us there. It's Garrett Gordon. How are you, pal?
Good, good. Thanks for having me on.
No problem at all. No problem at all. First time actually we've had anyone from the Vipers on the show. We didn't get a chance to speak to you last year. So we're delighted to have you on to speak about all things Vipers.
I don't think we were in the position to talk last year with the kind of results we were having. So I'm glad you didn't have us on.
Well, look, listen, it doesn't matter. You're talking to two former Pirates here. Look, we know all about, like, how bad results can get, listen. So there's no trouble there at all. But look, listen, first of all, before we get into the action, you know, from last weekend, how has things with the Vipers in the off-season been? Because we've seen, obviously, with the announcement that you've gotten your own home ground for both flag and kitted, which is absolutely fantastic. So a lot of work, especially, has gone in the background to sort of, you know, secure the future of the club.
This season actually started off, well, may as well start with last season. Like, last season, to be honest with you, the club was on its knees. To be honest with you, there was talk of us maybe actually pulling the league. But between the committee and a few like older players that have played previous seasons came back, myself included, I had actually I was actually a head coach previously, and actually had give up playing, and I came back to play last year. And to be honest with you, bluntly, the head coach that was meant to be there didn't turn up, and the committee asked myself and a couple of other former coaches to step in. We had no pre-season. We had no 4 weeks training before our first game. That's basically what we were like last season. We were running with maybe 17, 18 players. And the end of that season, obviously everybody knows results. But then coming into this season, the committee, everybody behind the scenes has actually started working really hard. Recruitment was great. To be honest with you, we were sitting with maybe 30, 32 players. So we were, few get injured. So they did with training and that there. We're down to maybe about 26, 27 players. And then, to be honest with you, I thought we were in a better place before Sunday happened.
Yeah. Yeah, and we might as well then have a chat. Obviously, the season doesn't begin as you would have liked. A disappointing defeat against the Craigavon Cowboys at home, 44-0. But still, like you're saying, for those rookies, a learning experience for a Premier, to come up against a Premier Division side, for them to sort of blood into playing this new game for them.
To be honest with you, see, Sunday had, like, it was nothing to do with rookies. Like, the rookies, they're like, we talk about things, we talk about passion, we talk about attitude, we talk about family. Like, they showed everything on Sunday against the Cowboys. The Cowboys were just better than us. Like, to be honest with you, it's probably down to myself and the coaches that we didn't have them properly prepared for the game. Like, I put nothing on the players at all. Like, it's down to myself as a head coach that I didn't have them prepared enough to go into the game. To be honest, like I said, I actually thought we were going into the game a lot stronger than we showed up. I think a few players maybe had a bit of nerves. They never played before. They said after the game they were a bit nervous. Apart from that there, honestly, the Cowboys were just better. Like the season we had last season and then going into this season, we were never going to pull up trees. We were never going to go and beat every team. I wasn't expecting that, but I expected a better performance from us. But like I said, that's down to myself and the coaches, nobody else.
Yeah, you were coming up against a Shamrock Bowl quarterback and a man who's represented his country, you know, in Peter Loughran. So I don't really think it's any shame to get beaten by that side at all. So hopefully there's better days to come for you this season, I'd say.
The only way it is up, like Alex, I remember like playing against Jews when I first started playing against the Cowboys. Like, we were beating all these teams. We were getting the semi-finals of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. We were like, honestly, we were a field goal away from being an SBC team in my eyes. And I'm going back, maybe 6-7 years ago. But it's just the progression. Like, older players leave, so they do. Players get older. And the problem we've had in the Derry, Donegal area is that we still aren't, the league, American football still isn't known. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm still going downtown, talking to people. People see me in my Vipers gear and say, oh, what's that there? And you're saying, oh, we're American football team. What do you mean, American football? Where's that? Do you know what I mean? That's still the mindset in the Northwest. So it's like, I'm originally obviously not from here. I'm from Ballymena, but I've been living here like 14 years. But there's still the mindset here. Like, I know if we can tap into that, which we are trying to do, by doing stuff like this here, coming on the podcast, talking about social media, everything, like talking to schools, JAG tag, everything. Like, once we get our name out, I know the only way is up for us. Like, we have a catchment area of maybe, 100,000, maybe 150,000 people. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, to me, like, I see teams, I'm not just talking about yourselves, like Pirates, Galway Warriors, when I was there, there's other teams that have maybe folded and never come back. Like, we've never, ever forfeited a game, no matter what numbers. I remember going down and play Eagles before COVID, and we had 13 players, but we went down and played. Do you know what I mean? We've never forfeited a game. We always want to give it all. We think the league's amazing. So we do. Honestly, like, once people buy into it, I'm sure, Alex, your team's the same. Like, yours is the same, the Pirates. Once people buy in, they never want to leave because of the atmosphere about every team. It's just like, just passion, just family. That's the way we do it.
100%. What you're on about there, like, I mean, the parallels with ourselves are very similar, and so the recovery from COVID was difficult. We were lucky, we had so many veterans that were able to come back, but yeah, that's it. You need to just get the buy-in, you know, the sport's on the rise, and it's kind of if you can hang in there and keep going, you will get reward for that perseverance. I think, you know,
100%. Really important. Even I can see the progression even from, like, we started training in October. Like, some of the older guys didn't come out in January, which kind of didn't help us. But I see the progression in the rookies we've had from October to now. Like, it maybe didn't show on Sunday, but I know they've got that first game out of them. Like, everybody knows you're nervous getting anything you want to do first. Like, even coming on to here, you're nervous coming on here, like myself, doing something, I guess. But I know once that game's over them, it's out of their mind. You forget about it. I know from now on that, well, hopefully against the Giants, we'll be better prepared and ready to go. Yeah.
But sure, look, Gareth, you're not sounding nervous at all. You're sounding grand. Don't worry about that now. But look, listen, the one thing as well that the Vipers have in their favour here as well is that you have the bones and the foundations of a good team, because not just a kid. You have a good flag team. You have a good youth team set up as well. So, like that, it is just about, you know, like that, getting the name out there. And look, if it is ourselves that can do it, we'll help as best we can. It's, you know, even just, like I said, just going back to the Pirates, trying to go on recruitment days and trying to stop people as they're walking around shops and trying to get them interested in American football. You know, you get a lot of people take leaflets and say, oh, yeah, I'll be down. But whether they actually come down is a whole different thing.
See, to be honest, see what I know is going to change the club is the youth. Like, we have three guys have come up this year. We have another four guys that come up now in June, that turn 18 in June. Like, there's seven extra players. And they're seven extra players that have played full kit. They're seven extra players that know what the Vipers are about. They're seven extra players that want to be part of the team. They're not wanting to go off to play for other teams. Like, they're based here and they want to be here. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's why I know. Like, to be honest with you, that's what kind of messed about with us on Sunday. Or, like, to be honest with you, one of the star players, we got Gavin Weatherall's came up from the youth team. Plays for the Wolfhounds, a running back. He got injured in the first play on Sunday. So we were having to throw other people in that maybe, that's, like I said, that's down to me, not having a plan B. Like, how do you plan for one of your better players getting injured? Do you know what I mean? So that's, like, the youth, I recommend any team to go with youth. And to be honest, I was one of the first that wasn't that enamoured with it, to be honest with you. I was like, youth players, we have to go through CF card and we have to do this to get it. But there's one of the coaches now, Lyons, he's actually one of the coaches of the Wolfhound under-19 team as well. Like, he championed the thing from the start. And I know in the next maybe 2 to 3 years, we're going to see the fruits of that. Do you know what I mean? Like, seven players, and they're still in our 13 or 14 that are maybe next year and the year after to come through. Like, that's just the foundation we have to build on.
Yeah. And that's 100%. It. And look, looking ahead then to, not this weekend, obviously the following weekend, straight back into it with a game against the Giants. So it's kind of you go up against, you know, the recently relegated, you know, Cowboys with, like Alex said, with someone like Peter Loughran, and who's played for his country, playing QB and slinging it around, to playing the Giants now that are getting their first taste of the Division One football after getting promoted from Division Two last year. You know, is this, I know you were saying that it's about improving the team, and, you know, is this one of the games that you would target for the lads and say, this is the winnable games, these are the ones that can help us, you know, set us up for a good season?
See, to be honest with you, at the start of the season, I was actually targeting trying to beat every team, and that's the God's honest truth. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, see, before we got the rookies in and before the league changed, I was saying to the committee, we're a Division 2 team. And that's the God's honest truth, because we were running with 16, 17 boys. Like, we were running down. So, for, like, I know you're saying about the Giants. Like, I consider us at the same level as Giants. You know what I mean? It's going to be an even match. So it is. But we're going into it wanting to win. We're going into it thinking we can win. And if players aren't the guy there, and I say to them every week, if you don't want to win every game, if you don't think you can win every game, I don't want them in the team. Like, I'm just being brutally honest. I say to them, like, boys, don't come here. If you don't want to come here with the mindset you want to train to win, there's no point in being here. That's my philosophy anyway, player. And I honestly went into the game on Sunday thinking it was going to be a hell of a lot closer. And I think it would have, don't get me wrong, Cowboys towards the park, they did. But like, I've went through the game tape the last couple of days, like, we missed a lot of tackles. which is basic stuff. Like coverage, you know what Peter Locker is about. He's going to throw it deep because he can. But it was just basic stuff that we let ourselves down. But it's not on the player. Like I said, it's on myself as head coach and all those coaches that we didn't have them better prepared for the Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But going back, sorry, I'm waffling on there. Going back to your said about the Giants. I don't consider them to be an easy touch for us. We're going to win. I think we can win, but I know it's going to be a hard game.
Yeah, I know. It will be. And look, I have first-hand experience of playing the Giants. They are a tough side. They play tough, and they are going to give whoever they play a decent game. And it is a game. If I wasn't playing on the same day, I'd love to be able to go and watch it there myself. But unfortunately, I have a little matter to attend to in Newbridge against the Crusaders, so I won't be available that day. Listen, I hope to stay with us there now, Gareth. We're just going to have a chat about the other two games from the weekend in the Premier Division. The first one we're going to talk about is the Vikings 0, the Trojans 38. The Trojans kick off their season with a comprehensive win in Limerick. The Vikings coming off their 24-24 draw last week against the Admirals. Succumbed to their first defeat in the Premier Division. Alex, a bit of controversy in this game as well.
Yeah. Only starting off the season week two, and we've already got a game where the TPOs didn't show up for it. I believe it was down in the schedule to be the Wexford Eagles. And I suppose if that is the case, it's not great. I know they did that last year, a couple of times, definitely in a game we were involved in. So, it's not a great start to the season. I mean, they're probably scheduled for another three games this year, the same as every other team, to be down to TPO it. And I think the league really need to address it with them and kind of come up with some solution to it, because I mean it's not fair on the other teams. I believe the UL were without their defensive backs coach then, because he was refereeing, and I assume two other members, I don't know, were they not available to play anyway, or were the other coaches? But I mean that just hamstrings a team, and it's really just not a great way to be. Like everyone, you know, hard enough to get TPOs. I know we struggle to get TPOs every year, but you put them together and you get them down there to ref the games, because it's the only way that we can all play. I don't know what the solution is, but I think the league need to really start looking ahead already at it to stop it happening again.
Yeah. And Ray, look, you know yourself. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it can't be the Eagles doing this like on purpose, because they're hampering themselves. They're going to get a points deduction for this now, and they should realistically be aiming for the playoffs, or at least going deep into that Shield tournament in Division 1 this season. And if they keep missing these TPO assignments and getting points deducted, they're going to be nowhere. They're going to be down the bottom of the table. So they do need to get that in order. Hopefully there was some sort of mix-up or a communication error between them and the league that this could be resolved quickly. But it's something that just looks bad on the league and really needs to be sorted out, as Alex said.
I know last season they didn't fulfill fixtures, but they did say themselves that they hadn't got anyone trained and that there was no opportunities to train the new guys. But there has been now this off-season to do that. So I don't know if they just didn't show up. I don't know. I know there was one up north. I think they had to do one in Dublin. I think this is why they might not get away with it, but might not necessarily get a points deduction. There was meant to be a course in Dublin. It got cancelled. There was also a course up north that did go ahead, but they were meant to do another one in Dublin, but I don't think that went ahead either.
I believe they did have it. Yeah, they had one in Dublin, in Blanchardstown. Yeah, or was it moved to Mullingar, or was it in Blanchardstown in the end? I can't remember, but there was three held. There was one up in Derry.
Or ground. Yeah,
there's definitely one in Derry, there was one in Belfast, and I believe there was one in either Blanchardstown or Mullingar.
I think that one was cancelled, and I don't think they...
There's one online as well.
I don't know. There was definitely one in Newbridge that was cancelled because of a frozen pitch, Dara. And it was moved to another weekend. I know because I ended up, it would have been the handiest one for me, and I ended up not being able to go because I was away that weekend or something. But there was definitely three held this year, and I don't know, was there any sort of online supplementation? But surely, again, the league would have known if Wexford didn't send any TPOs to get trained, surely they knew, well, they don't actually have any referees to fulfill this fixture. Can we proactively do something about that?
It's communication on both sides, though, right? Like, the Wexford Eagles should be saying, you have us down to ref this game. We don't have any refs. You guys need to sort this out. It can't be on the Eagles organization to send referees if they don't have them. But also, they need to make the league aware of that fact.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah. It's not something we want to be talking about in week two of the season. Like, and it's not to say that it's excusable, but you can understand it happening at the end of a season where lads are injured. Maybe it's the start of summer. People might have gone on holidays and stuff. You know, there has to be a bit of contingency. But if ever you can't send a referee or a set of referees, you have to contact the league and allow them to put contingency into place to stop this happening. It's
really every club not meant to have five or six? Sorry, Alex. Every club not meant to have five or six.
I think the requirement is to have a minimum of six. And yeah, we all know we get three or four assignments every year. And if you don't fulfill
them, and they're well in advance as well. So it's not as if they're sprung on them. It's not as if it's just you're going next week down to Limerick for a match. Like, you get well in advance of where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that is something. And look, listen, we don't know the background in terms of, I don't know if Wexford have been, you know, onto the league to tell them, look, listen, we're due. Maybe they were in contact before this game saying, look, guys, we are due to ref this game on Sunday or in a few weeks. Maybe they just did a few weeks ago and said, look, we don't have any trained officials. You haven't put on a course. We need something. Where then the league could say, right, change that fixture. Just for argument's sake, Alex, just assign the Mavericks to that fixture so that they can do that and move it around. But I don't know. I don't know if the communication has been there, or was it a thing, like you said, that was sprung up there on the day on Sunday?
Yeah, I know it was definitely sprung on the two teams because it was a surprised text I got off one of the lads saying it's just TPOs hadn't showed up.
We actually have not mentioned even the game yet. referees. A very good win for the Trojans. They start the season with a win in a year that they are hoping to start better than they did last year. You know, they've seen, you know, the Rebels lose their first game. They've seen the Panthers. Oh, well, they would have seen now that the Panthers have started quite well as well. So playoff positions and seeding is definitely up for grabs. And Alex, you know, just exactly the start that the Trojans would have wanted.
Yeah. 100%. They sort of lay down a marker for how they want the season to go. They absolutely dominated on defense. I believe they gave up one first down all day on defense. And they just got in control early and never let up, because I think they knew as well from week one that UL are more than capable of mounting a comeback. So once they got on top, they stayed on top and made sure not to let any complacency slip in. You know, they're a great outfit there, really well drilled, and their coaches would have had them, you know, even before week one's result happened, they would have, you know, taken nothing for granted. I think in the end, they even were able to give some sympathy snaps to their resident podcasters there, you know.
Well, look, their resident podcasters were in charge of taking the stats and meant to send them to me, but they didn't do that. So they're in the bad books now for that. Only special team reps now in next game.
Yeah, definitely. They've got another long bus trip now next game as well. So I think they're down in Cork.
Down in Cork. In week four on the 7th of April.
Yeah. So two long trips down for them, but I think they'll be buoyed by that result, confident in their abilities, and I think they really want to look to break that two horse race, you know, up and get involved there and maybe make it back to another Shamrock Bowl. For UL, though, I think definitely a chasing them defeat, but I think they've got to expect to take some L's, you know, coming up to the SBC this season. But they don't really have time to dwell on it or lick their wounds. I think they've obviously got the bye week this week, and then they're hosting the defending champion Rebels the following week. So, you know, they're just taking their licks. Yeah. Yeah, they just are getting up off the mat again and ready to go. As I think we know they will, they're always going to be fighters. They'll just pick themselves up and be ready to go.
And then they have UCD after that as well, just to make things even easier.
The joys.
But going back to the Trojans, I think they have a bit of a chip on their shoulder this season. Practically nobody has talked about them as being contenders. Some people are talking about them as being like kind of on the bubble in terms of getting into that playoffs. I think they really want to prove that this is not, as Alex said, a two-horse race. This is a three-horse race, and they need to be taken seriously. They have a huge squad up there, very well drilled, and I could see them doing a lot of damage this season.
Agree, yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely, especially when you get to those
four X Vipers as well, sorry. The four X Vipers playing for them as well, yeah. So maybe it's us that's bringing them up too.
Could be.
Well, look, listen. Well, look, that's the thing, and you know, it is tough. That's one tough thing as well with just the fluidity of being able to move clubs. It can be tough, you know, when you're trying to build a team, and players just go off somewhere else. Sorry, Rian, I know I moved, but get over it. Like, moving on to the second game, that was in Santry, the South Dublin Panthers 33, the Westmeath Minotaurs 6. A fantastic game for new head coach Owen O'Sullivan, and especially for Finn Cairns, 3 passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown of his own, in a dominant performance in which you could probably say, lads, that the Minotaurs maybe failed to live up to their end of the bargain in this game.
Yeah, definitely think the flatter to deceive on Sunday. It was a slow starting for both sides. The Minotaurs kept it tight up until probably the second half, until the Panthers took off. But I think the Minotaurs would be quite disappointed in their showing in the second half. It was very sloppy. I watched the live stream up until it cut off. And it was quite sloppy football, but that's week one for you. You got to imagine that those lads will be regrouping now and thinking, you know, what did we do wrong? How can we fix it? They've got a game. Their next game now is the Knights as well. The Panthers, I think, are both of their next games are the Knights. So it'll be a good barometer of where they're all at. Probably 3 sides you'd. Pin maybe not the Panthers, but with 3 sides you'd pin more for the Shields than potential playoffs. The Panthers probably looking for more than that, to be fair. And off the back of that week one victory, you know, who would really deny them?
You're going to get me in trouble with the Panthers now for this show, saying that they are going for the Shield and not for the Shamrock Bowl this year.
No, fair enough. The Panthers probably are looking to bigger things. Sorry, Fionn. Sorry. And
Fionn doesn't care. He got his win. That's it. He's done now for the season. But yeah, it was a really, really good win. There are highlights available on our YouTube channel if you want to check them out. We got to, you know, I don't want to, you know, first game, first take or hot takes, you know, they're always blown out of proportion. But, you know, the team seems to live or die by Finn. And God forbid he gets injured, because if he does, they're in trouble. But also, you know, they put a lot of work into their running attack this year, with not just Finn, but also, you know, I think they're after getting Luke Carey. Connor Hoskins is getting into another year as well after coming up from the youth squad. So it is a very good running attack that they have too. And of course, Sean Goldrick is back playing wide receiver. So I'm kind of contradicting my own statement here as I'm talking. So I'm going to shut up and let someone else speak there.
dominant on defense, of course, with their new safety in there. Very clean safety, but safety nonetheless. Now look, watching that game there on Sunday, Finn Kearns is electric. That 84-yard touchdown that he had with his legs, unbelievable. Three passing touchdowns, absolutely excellent. I would agree with Alex that they are probably aiming for the playoffs and probably looking to upset some people there. They maybe don't have the squad size that the other three guys in that conversation do have, but it's not the worst either. I mean, they were in a much worse position last season. They were going to games with 18, 19 guys. I didn't do a head count on the day, but it looked like they certainly had above 22 or 23 players, which is great to see. So just any sort of depth that they can get, a lot of it coming from the Panthers. I saw a few familiar Panthers from the Pirates, saw a few familiar faces down there. But yeah, look, it's good to see, and whatever they can do to kind of mix up that that battle up the top of the SBC, all the better.
Yeah. So yeah, in conclusion, the demise of the Panthers was greatly exaggerated.
Yeah. Well,
I think they'll take fantastic pleasure for the entire season in reminding us all that we might have egged on a bit. Particularly, where did you have them in your rankings, Dara? Your rankings, we always point out.
Yeah,
fourth. We had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I got in more trouble with Cork because I let them out of my rankings. You know, so they're the ones that are more angrier at me than the Panthers. I think the Panthers are okay, but Garrett, I want to ask you then about the Minotaurs, because obviously from their time playing in Division One, you would have had a few matchups against them. You know, Joe Kinahan is obviously a very talented quarterback. They are a strong side. The numbers on Sunday looked pretty good as well, which in previous years hadn't been always the case for the Minotaurs. But would you look at, just solely looking at the result and sort of history with them, would you sort of be thinking this is kind of just an outlier and you'd expect them to get things back on track now for the rest of the season?
See, to be honest, I don't know. Like I was saying earlier, when I was playing against the Minotaurs, because I had took a couple of years out, like we were beating teams like the Minotaurs. So we were. So I don't really know about. I know what SBC is about, and I know the difference between Division One and going up there. I know they stayed up last year, but was that a case of Peter Lockhart out for the Cowboys, and the Cowboys being a lot worse off, and that's why they were so good, and they stayed up? I know they won a few games, but is that what it was? But
yeah.
I think
I was just going to say, it kind of, it came down to the Knights and the Cowboys last year. I think the Minotaurs beat both the Knights and the Cowboys, which, you said, got them that safety. Yeah.
But I think the question is, if you've got a good quarterback, I think any team can beat any team. I know in Division 1 it comes down, I think it comes down to that anyway. If you've got a good quarterback, because most teams in Division 1 run the ball. That's the difference between, I think, Division One and SBC. SBC quarterbacks can all throw the different options. I know our case this year, we actually have a QB so they can actually throw the ball. So we're trying to get away from the run pass kind of offense. But
yeah,
going back to your question, I think they've got enough to stay up. I think it could be Limerick, could be the top, be the ones that are coming back out. I know they've been the SBC team, but there's a big difference. Alex, you know yourself, you played there, you know.
Yeah, you're right with that sort of having that multi-dimensional offense does make a difference. And when it clicks, the Minotaurs can be excellent and certainly could beat most teams in that division. They do have an exciting wide receiver core. I mean, we even saw, even on a day where they were faltering, maybe they uncorked a near 50-yard touchdown. To keep it close, they are always capable of that. So yeah, you're definitely right there, Garrett, and say they're definitely not going to be whipping boys by any stretch this year. They're not going to lose every game and go down. They'll put it up to teams 100%.
Actually, now that you mentioned the quarterback, that something that did we come across, Alex, a little earlier on about your quarterback having some rich family history when it comes to American football?
Yeah, I believe the Vipers QB has got a famous grandfather, is it, or is it great-grandfather?
Yeah. Played in the NFL. So, yeah. Dan Danica, he's actually a New Yorker. So he's actually been living literally 2 minutes away from where we're at now. And he's never knew about the Vipers until this season. And that's what I mean. That's why I'm saying he's about getting the word out. He never knew until we were close and it came out. That we've got this, the Vail Center, you know, now is like a, we're trying to make it a center of excellence for football kind of thing in the Northwest. And he's come out, and to be honest with you, it's been a breath of fresh air. The captain, that shows you as a rookie, has come in to become a captain.
Yeah.
But
I'd say his experience and knowledge will be invaluable. Like, I mean, from knowing from playing or even talking to some American guys, they grow up playing it. Like, nobody here grows up picking up an American football and throwing it.
That's him coming to me and saying things, you know, this year, like he's played his whole life, you know, in America, you know what I mean? He comes in, you know, we should do this way, we should do that. And I'm holding my hands up, yep, why do you tell me and I wouldn't do it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, it's no surprise that, you know, Ty Henry's the best player in the league for a reason. Again, he grew up doing it and never really had a break from it, still going at the top level.
But that's why I think youth football's the way to go here. Like, if we can get young ones in at 15 through to 18, then 3 years of playing at football, going to the Wolfhounds, getting that hope, is it the hope thing where the Americans come over to coach them, like, that's just going to be beneficial to every team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and like that, you mentioned the likes of a JAG tag, and obviously with the Jaguars having a market in Ireland, and also the Steelers too. I think there's a Steelers camp planned for this year as well, where they'll probably get some coaches over too. So that stuff is all just going to be, you know, great things for growing the league.
Well, 100% agree. Like, JAG tags up here in the Northwest, they're at 5 schools. They're one of the all-girls school. They've been in there for the past, I think it's 8 weeks, doing JAG tag with them. A few of them are coming out to play for our flag team. Like, we have, what, 3-4 girls play for flag that actually were playing in that Trojan team that played in the, as you were talking about, in the women's competition the weekend. Like 4 of our players were playing for the Trojans, because the Trojans didn't have enough players, so they had to come to our team to take, you know, a few players to help them out, which here, like, happy days. Like, that's just showing how good our players are, the other teams are wanting them to play for them. So they are
getting more, like I said, tournament experience as well.
That's it. When they come back to our club, then it just helps us. So it does. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, just as you were talking about, our main thing this year is probably having the get into having our own women's team as well. Because with JAG tag in with the only girls' school, and having, I think they trained up, was it 18 coaches in the JAG tag from the girls' school? They're in the 4 other schools, like first year, second year, third year. Like, you know, like we were saying, like, you get people brought in early. Like, American football is going to be their only sport. That's all it's about, getting them in early so they all fit. I love being this here. This is a family atmosphere. Let's keep at it. That's in my eyes, anyway.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, this is where I think we're going to wrap up this show. There's nothing to preview for next week because, of course, this weekend is Patrick's weekend, so we will not be having any football. Plenty of games the following week, though. I think there's 7, 8
games. 7, yeah. I think there's 2 on Saturday and 5 on the Sunday, yeah. I believe.
Yeah, Saturday is Giants and Vipers, and then also Crusaders and Rhinos. So then there's, I think, 3 games in the Premier Division Sunday, and another 2 on Sunday in Division 1. So yeah, plenty to talk about.
Guys, thanks for having us on as well. Thanks very much.
Listen, we really appreciate you, Garrett, coming on. And listen, we wish you all the best of luck for the rest of the season. Like I said, before we do let you go, anyone that's listening to it to this show, who's interested in getting involved in American football and is in the Donegal Derry area, what's the best way to contact the team?
Facebook. Go on to Facebook. Always somebody always picks up the message, let you know training times. We train on a Sunday morning, 9:30 to 1:00, out in the Vail Center. So there's in Eglinton, just outside, well, Greystone, just outside the city. But anybody wants to come down and give it a go, recommend it to anybody. So they love it.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Again, Garrett, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks, guys.
On. We really appreciate it. We'll hopefully have you on maybe again later on in the season. Again, just for a little update on how the year is going for the team.
No problem. Thanks. Cheers, guys. Bye.
Lads, I really appreciate you coming on as always this evening.
No problem.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Before we let you go, if you haven't already, Garrett's already gone. Make sure you follow us on our socials at UndercenterPod on Instagram and Twitter. That will get the latest updates for the show. Also, some clips as well. If you want to watch this show back at any point, you can just go to our YouTube channel, Undercenter Podcast. That's where you'll find all of our shows so far this year, including highlights of, like I said, the Panthers game against the Minotaurs last week. What else? If you want to listen to us on the go, Under Center Podcast, wherever you get your podcast, that is where you will be able to listen to us. Spotify, Apple. Supposedly now we're doing quite well in Luxembourg. I think we're like 30th in the Apple charts in Luxembourg. So people from Luxembourg, thank you very much, I guess, for listening to last week's show. Keep listening. Fionn is getting in with a comment. He's not all right to come on the show, but he's all right to say that they... Rhino's undefeated into week three. He's right, and past week three as well. Make sure of that too. Like I said, we're going to wrap up this edition. We will be back next week to preview the games for the following week, including a certain debut for a certain Rhino. So we'll see how that goes. And Alex, you are going to be in action as well. You are at home to the Cowboys.
Home to the Cowboys. No, away to the Cowboys. Away to the Cowboys.
Away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Away.
The road, yeah. I think we're down for reffing your game as well on the Saturday. So
we're
going to get two games in at the weekend.
See, now you're going to get in a lot of trouble now for that, because podcast friends and all this.
And I've actually recused myself.
Well, that's no fun. So I can't even.
I know. You can't even give me a backhander. I know,
double disappointment. You're not going to be reffing my game, and now I've just figured out that I can't actually go up to Dundalk and watch you guys on Sunday either to see what it's like. No. So, double disappointment to end the show. Thank you very much for that. Like I said, thank you so much for tuning in this evening. We'll be back again next week. Until then, stay safe, and we will see you soon.
Happy Paddy's Day, everybody.